Robbie, you were at the Wanda on Wednesday night. First of all, how was it? How was the atmosphere?
Yeah, I think after that, I don't think anyone was expecting that early goal. Obviously the fans were singing and like normal, nothing spectacular or anything. It was really cold, but after that first goal went in, it felt like Monaco dropped their heads as well. And I was actually watching Henri, and he's, I think a lot of people would have, not the Atletico fans, but a lot of interest was kind of from Henri, seeing what he could do, maybe pull off an upset. But yeah, after that first goal, it was like, no, this isn't happening. And I guess we kind of should have known that because of the age, the demographic of his team that he put out. They were really, really young. He conceded the fact that it was going to be really difficult, and yeah, it turned out to be the case. Even though Atletico kind of took their foot off the gas there for the last maybe 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, you mentioned that early goal. 87 seconds, the quickest goal Atleti have ever scored in the Champions League. Just 87 seconds in. And how many teenagers were there? I think it was six by the end?
Six of them saw minutes. There was, I think, five started, and then two more came on, and one of them went off. Yeah, so Lilian Thuram's son.
Yeah.
Obviously, Lilian Thuram, the legendary French defender. Who else? That Masengo lad. He was kind of, he's 17, and I thought he was really good, but he was. Yeah, he was kind of tasked with stopping Griezmann, not stopping him, but keeping an eye on him, and they were kind of finding themselves in a similar position, so he would end up having to pick him up. And I thought he was actually fine. He was a really good young player. Obviously, Monaco, to be honest, they're struggling in the league, so obviously they just wanted to get this over and done with, get the Champions League over and done with, training ground for their young players, and they're obviously going to focus on Ligue 1 and making sure that they're not relegated, because apparently it's a real possibility.
They're 19th.
I saw that. It's insane, isn't it? Like when you think about the players that, well, obviously the players that came from there, the players that left, you've got Fabinho, Thomas Lemar, Benjamin Mendy, Mbappe, like they lost a world class starting 11, and they're suffering for that. And you'd hate to see a club that does bring through that kind of talent be relegated. You know, it wouldn't say a whole lot for youth development. And
you mentioned in your match report that Simeone taught Thierry Henry a lesson or two. Can you elaborate on that? What did teacher dispel to pupil in this game?
Well, to be honest, I'm not entirely sure. It was like the talent was, everything was stacked in Simeone's favor, but just in terms of, I guess, it's hard to assess it without the context, obviously the fact that the kid, they were so young, but like they were so, Atletico were so patient after they got that goal. They kept them at arm's length. They often kind of let Monaco attack in certain areas and then won it back off them and countered. They were at times a little bit cynical in their fouling. They were very smart once they took that. Obviously, and I also said in the report that early goal ruined Monaco's confidence as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, that wasn't Simeone's in Simeone's game plan to score after 2 minutes or anything, but I just think that they were so calm, they were so assured. I mean, their experience showed, and I think overall it was just really, really men versus boys, quite literally, on last night at the Wanda.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Just I think tactically Henri, I wouldn't say he got it right, but it wasn't a bad game plan kind of match at Atleti's 4-4-2. Just so many young players, so many inexperienced players in a ground where Atletico play extremely well most times out. It's very tough to get on top in that kind of circumstance, and especially after 2 minutes. Koke getting the goal already, his fourth of the season, Robbie. Just newfound attacking contributions from Koke. What do you think is behind it?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, actually. He has been asked to do maybe a little bit more, or not a little bit more, but maybe he's been freed up a little bit more, given the fact that Rodri pretty much has his mind in the house quite well. And maybe Koke feels like he needs to, given the fact that Costa's not attacking all that well. Like, I mean, like, I was just thinking about Koke before he scored the goal, and he's almost too nice, and he's too helpful for his teammates. He's always trying to find that pass when there are times when he should shoot. And I said it in the match report as well, is that he hesitated before he took that shot.
He
and
did.
I feel like if he was actually looking for a pass when the shot was the option was there. And I understand that that's his personality, that's his game, that's his whole style, is to keep the ball, make sure that Atletico keep the ball possession, recycle it, just continuity, things like that. And he doesn't really like to shoot from distance. We rarely see him shooting from distance, but he kind of had to. It was like he hesitated, thinking, is what my only option here kind of is to shoot. And I think it was actually kind of a poor shot. Anyway, I'd say the keeper had it covered quite easily, but
he did,
I'd say he does feel the need to maybe contribute a little bit more, given the fact that Griezmann sacrifices so much, and he doesn't. It's not like they're getting 50 chances a game, like, and Koke maybe feels like he needs to step up a little bit and add. If he can add 2 or 3 chances to a game, he can. Tip it in their favour as well, which will open space for Costa and Griezmann on, in different areas of the field too, you know?
Yeah, again, 4 goals, his career high in a season is 7. He's more than halfway there, and we're not even in December yet, so that is something to keep an eye on for Koke. Griezmann getting the second goal, he now has 11 goals in his last 11 Champions League home games. Griezmann is a guy that we've talked about a lot, obviously, and his kind of big game DNA, to borrow an American phrase, his big game DNA has been questioned before, but he's got a goal a game his last 11 Champions League home games. Is it time we kind of flip that narrative on its head a bit, especially considering the World Cup this past summer?
Yeah, I guess those narratives, I mean, I'm not entirely sure that I would buy into any of those kind of things. I mean, when you look at someone's strike rate in general, I mean, they're only scoring, okay, he's scoring one a game there, but overall a season, I mean, guys are scoring once every, and in finals, goals are so much harder to come by anyway, and I understand the fact that the best players do always score them, but I mean, that's probably comparing guys to Messi and Ronaldo and things like that, and that's just, I mean, they're two of the best players that have ever played the game.
Yeah.
So I was just like Griezmann sacrifices so much, and that's probably why he didn't win the Ballon d'Or. There's reports here in Spain that Luka Modric has won the Ballon d'Or, and that's the kind of thing, he doesn't really stand out in those. But he is so good at everything he does, and that sacrifice and that kind of, like, he was booked last night for tracking back and throwing himself about. I think he tripped Golovin, but I think, like, if he's the kind of player that will never, okay, he's been on the podium for the Ballon d'Or, but he'll never be remembered as one of the best, because he just does sacrifice so much, and he's plays in a couple of teams like France. He said that during the World Cup, he said, we play like Simeone, we play like Atletico Simeone. He said it's not really all that exciting, but it's effective, and it's kind of crazy to think, because he kind of flips, he flips what we think a footballer is supposed to be. And I think actually, when you say that about the American thing, he kind of has the more, like, in terms of off the field and on the field, like, how he acts and how he speaks and how he thinks is different, it seems, to what we're what we expect from players. And I think that kind of ruffles people's feathers. But also on the field, I mean, he could have gone to most players. Like, you look at Coutinho, he couldn't wait to get to Barcelona. Like, and Griezmann at a team like Atletico, well, when where he's never going to get the chance to score 40 goals a season, and he stayed because he and that it's kind of strange for us. It kind of, like, brings about maybe a little bit of cognitive dissonance for some people. They're like, what is this guy, you know? And he's sitting there going, I'm a soldier for Simeone, and this is what I do. And I mean, I often look at him, and like, even last night, actually, he was taken off down the left-hand side, and I think it was Lemar, because I was wondering what he thought and whether he would say something to Griezmann. And Lemar took off down the left, and the ball was on, and I, like, it was on down the left-hand side, and Griezmann turned around and went backwards. And obviously, that's part of their game plan. It's a part of what they've been told to do. And it is just frustrating. I was talking to one of the journalists here, actually, after the one of the games. It was Eibar, I think. I can't remember what game it was, but we're just saying that he was saying to me, like, it's crazy how there's chances on there, but obviously Atletico are so keen not to give the ball away in those spaces that they just recycle it, and that is where that boring thing comes from. And I get that completely, but Griezmann, you'd think a player like him, his natural instinct would be to go attack, but it's not. He's been changed by Simeone. He's seen the light, and I just think that, that narrative is probably going to stick around, but Atletico don't create chances anyway. They don't score that many chances anyway. So, I mean, that's why that narrative is there. But I think Griezmann's doing just fine. Although, I would worry about Atletico's style in general. I was saying that Barcelona fans were criticising Simeone's style, and I went on Twitter and I purposely said this because I understand the criticism of Simeone. I understand it completely. He's got one of his best teams ever. He's not going to change for a start. But my issue was that Barcelona fans wanted him to be naive. They were like, oh, why didn't he play like that? Yeah, so Messi could just pick them apart and score four goals. Right. Like, that's what they were angry about. They weren't angry about the style and the approach. They were angry that he didn't open himself up. You know what I mean? And that's what I was trying to get at. So, I went off topic a little bit there regarding Griezmann and the narrative. But I'm just saying, it has to be taken in context as to who he's playing for and the chances that they get in games. So, he's obviously their talisman and he's their goal-getter. So, he's doing quite well. And that was a lovely finish last night, I thought.
Yeah, outside of the boot from close range. The cutback, too, from Correa, just to leave Jemerson on the floor. Oh, that was nasty.
I think Correa has been really impressive this year. He's really improving, and he still makes some bad decisions. He still kind of plays with a little bit like a headless chicken sometimes. but he's so good in those one on, like, he's just turns and those switch of the hips. He did it against Athletic Bilbao a couple of times. He did it he's been doing it recently. He did it against Barcelona a couple of times. He's able to find space. Is so and back to the Simeone, a player like that in a defensive setup is absolutely priceless, and that's like Lemar as well. Like, did you see him for Koke's goal? He just kind of dropped his hips, swiveled, turned, and went. In basketball, that kind of one-on-one ISO or whatever you want to call it is priceless, mm-hmm. And that's the same for. It's the same for Atletico, for a defensive team. Like, Lemar is able to find that space, and they broke clear after that. And yeah, I thought Correa, he's been doing it more consistently recently, and he has looked more dangerous this year, definitely. And he seems to be coming along just nicely.
I think, his consistency, I think, has definitely improved. He's still got a ways to go. There are still some points where you recognize, hey, he's still really, really raw, even though he's been in this team now for four full seasons. But yeah, I think his consistency, there's a lot that comes with that number 10 shirt. And it's been kind of a cursed number for Atletico for a few years now. But he's trying to make it his own. And yeah, he's had a few games like this year where he has just come out, particularly in the first half. And Simeone seems to know when to start him. He has a pretty good idea when to start him now versus when to put him on the bench. It wasn't always so clear to Cholo.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Maybe that's why his selection now is more suited to him. So, say, for example, when he played against a team that wasn't suited to him and he played poorly and people would blame him, when in reality it was just a case that the game just wasn't suited for him. You know, and there's only... Okay, within a team, there's only a handful of players that are suited to every game. So maybe that's actually a good point. Maybe Simeone is learning what kind of games to play him in, because I think he's been really important and really decisive in some of the games that he's played. Just that word that Simeone loves, that unbalanced, I think it's desequilibriar, or in Spanish, like disbalanced the side, you know, and unbalanced, sorry, the side. And I think that Correa is one of those players that's just really important to Atletico when he does play in the games that suit him.
You mentioned importance, and I think we touched on a couple of these guys already, but What I want to do now, Robbie, let's play a little game here. I want to rank the three most important players at Atletico right now. Top three, third, second, first. You can go first. Who are Atletico's three most important players right now as we leave November and enter December?
I'd say Oblak, Saul, and Griezmann at the moment. It's a difficult question, obviously, this is just obviously subjective, but like, Rodri is really, really, really important to the balance of the side. But I think overall, Saul adds more. And I know that he hasn't really been playing that well. He hasn't played that well for Atletico, and there's questions as to why he hasn't played well and why is Simeone using him right. But I think overall, Saul definitely gives that. I suppose I'm looking at it from his perspective of he changes the look of that midfield completely. Like when you play Koke, Thomas Partey is similar to Saul in many ways, so he's kind of like a lower level at the moment of Saul. Yeah, so those kind of players change the look of that midfield completely. So I pick Saul in because of that. And also Oblak obviously is one of the, like, he's absolutely brilliant. I just think he's one of the best keepers in the world. I think the reports now that Manchester United are lining him up if De Gea doesn't sign his contract extension, and I'd say there's a bit of a game of cat and mouse going on there at the moment between Atletico and Oblak and Manchester United and all the other offers that are coming in for him because he's one of the world's best. I think he's just so good. Some of the saves he makes are fabulous. And then Griezmann, obviously, yeah, just because he does sacrifice so much attacking, he obviously adds so much to the attack. He's good defensively, he's consistent, he doesn't really suffer from injuries. Like, he's consistent in that respect as well. Doesn't really need that much rest. He can play in very variety of roles, and he gets goals. So yeah, I'd have to have Griezmann there, even though he, as I said, he doesn't light the world on fire all that often. But yeah, in terms of what he brings to that team and what he offers, definitely.
I think our rankings are pretty similar. I started mulling this over last night. I have Oblak third as well. What always strikes me about Oblak is that he can go 60, 70 minutes without having to do anything. And then, Atletico kind of take their foot off the gas, and he has to make two or three quick saves, and he makes them easily. Like, he never really switches off. That's the most impressive thing for me.
Yeah, I was just reading the David Priest article in iNews there, and he was just saying, he's obviously the goalkeeper kind of analyst in England. He was just saying that. He said at top clubs, where teams don't generally get that many very many chances against you, concentration is one of the most important aspects. And for Oblak, he didn't actually have to make a save in the first half. And then the second half, all of a sudden, he made really one good save from a shot from outside the box. He tipped one over the bar. Yeah, and that, like, I mean, obviously, we only think of highlight reels and do wonderful saves, but that concentration and just being alert, that kind of thing, you can't buy that, you can't train that either, like, and that's the kind of thing that the very, very, very top goalkeepers have, and Oblak has that in spades.
He really does. And he didn't have to save Falcao's penalty. That could have been another interesting one, because Falcao sent him the wrong way completely.
He sent him completely the wrong way, and it went. I actually didn't see the replay, and I was sitting the opposite side of the way the ball went, so I didn't actually see how wide it went. But it looked like he hit it fairly wide.
Yeah, he did. It wasn't even close on replay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got Oblak third. I have Koke second, and then Griezmann first. It's tough between Koke, Saul, and Rodri. I kind of had to decide between those three, but you notice that, and whenever Koke doesn't play, Atletico seem to suffer. The suffering is kind of part of Cholismo anyway. But when Koke isn't there, Atletico, they lose a lot of solidity. And there's a sense that Atletico lacks some solidity now anyway. The last couple seasons, that there's been this sense that the defense is a little softer and Oblak's had to be called upon more often. But when Koke isn't out there, you really do notice it. He came off at halftime, and Atletico really were a totally different team in the second half. And then Griezmann first, because of what you just said. I can't really phrase it much better than that, but Koke, we already talked about his offensive contributions, but he just does so many other things that make Atletico click, and he's at his best when you don't really notice him. Gabby used to be this way too, that they're at their best when you don't really notice what they're doing.
Yeah, Cholo is Cholo, and that's the way he is. But I think when Koke is out, he kind of accepts the fact that this is going to be a little bit of a barnstormer here, more so than when Koke plays, and that's when they get really, really defensive, maybe. And I think that in a kind of a reverse way, that actually suits Atletico because it makes the game, makes them play a little bit more, and they have the players to do that, so it makes it that little bit more fun to watch for a start. More chances, and also the fact that some of the Griezmann gets to shine, and Lamar gets to shine, and Costa gets chances. You know, if that makes sense. And also, like, I wrote that article before the Barcelona game. I was kind of like saying that this is Simeone's defense's last hurrah, and yeah, it kind of didn't work. It didn't work out that way because Fran and Godin were injured. But what I was trying to get at was like, this is, you know, like, and we probably won't see a version of that again. And maybe Simeone might change a little bit in terms of he'll accept that. And then he's not going to turn into Pep Guardiola or anything, but maybe he'll accept the fact that, okay, that defence is gone now. I'm going to have to do something different. And obviously, he was saying the other day that if you want to criticize my style, he said, listen, you can turn it off. You don't have to watch it if you don't want it. Mm-hmm. This is my style and that. And I'm sure he's not listening to the critics or anything, and he's going to play whatever way he plays. But I'm sure there is part of him that's kind of, you know, because I've criticized Cholo in the past for his defensive style as well. But my issue is the problem is that Atletico are kind of losing. When they're in a situation where they have to come out and play, they can't, and that's what is frustrating. I suppose it is a plan B. Like, you need to have a backup plan for when you go a goal down. And what happens is, if Atletico are playing a massive game, and all of a sudden they find themselves a goal down, and it's like, okay, now what are you going to do? Whereas against Barcelona, they had that game won. Do you know what I mean? Like, they had that game won, only for that Dembele goal at the end. And that's when I criticised them before, in terms of, it was against Real Madrid, I think, and they were down 1-0, and they just could not even string three passes together. And I was like, this is the issue. But when you're winning that way, like we see with Jose Mourinho, when you're winning with that style, like, history is written by the winners. Like, no one's going to say that to you when you're winning. The problem is when you start to lose with that style. And I think maybe Simeone, back to the point, is that maybe Simeone is having a look at this defence and realises that his golden generation are gone. He's started to kind of rotate, but Juan Fran is getting more injury prone. Like, these guys are 33, 32, 33 and 34. And Felipe Luis isn't the player he was. And, you know, he's got a different kind of like Lucas Hernandez, far more capable on the ball than those players, his previous central defenders. Jose Jimenez more keen to kind of more energy, I guess, than Godin and Miranda at the time and players like that. So maybe he will start to accept the fact that, okay, I'm going to have to free someone up here in the middle a little bit in order to push forward, because we're going to need two goals if we want to win this. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to concede. Do you get me? If that also makes sense.
Sorry. Yeah. Stefan Savage still managed to get himself sent off in a game that was won, that was completely locked up. He managed to get sent off. Was it a penalty? It looked like a pretty clear penalty to me.
Yeah, it was, because he had his right arm. I was just looking at it again. He had his right arm into his chest, and he left the left one out, kind of maybe sneakily, knowing that like he could make it maybe look like it was a penalty. But at the same time, I mean, penalties are weird. Like, you can get referees that give them for one thing, and refereeing is just weird. Like, you see it, say for example in basketball. And referees, there's like a defined rule book, whereas in soccer, it's defined, but a lot of it is based on an interpretation as well. And I think that handball rule, like, I could see if someone said it wasn't, I could see, and if the referee didn't give it, I could see that as well. But I just think his hand was flailing there a little bit unnecessarily.
Yeah,
but he had gotten himself into that situation with the yellow card prior to that when the game was 2-0. Atletico were fairly comfortable. I just think it was silly in general that he would find himself in the position to get himself sent off in a game that was finished. I mean, yeah. It was.
And then he just had to make things a little more interesting, and Falcao then missing the penalty, of course. But that's kind of the Stefan Savage experience in a nutshell. He'll have really, really good games, and then he'll do stuff like he did Wednesday. And now he is suspended for Atletico's final group game against Club Brugge in a couple weeks, which Atletico, if they win that game, they win the group. Or if Dortmund drop points against Monaco, which is unlikely, considering
and
Monaco
that's actually just back to the point about Atletico's style and Simeone's style.
Sure.
Atletico, like, this group, and I understand Monaco are really, really struggling, but when you looked at that group at the start, it was like, Atletico are going to struggle to get out of this group, and I understand that Monaco have struggled massively. But they weren't struggling like at the start of the year, like when Atletico played them. But Atletico look likely like they're going to top this group, so they're coming into winter. And I was just actually looking at the games coming up. They've got a couple of really, really tough games, but they're Atletico are actually in a really, really, really nice position.
I think so too. Not just in this group, but I think as far as the league is concerned, with everything that's going on in La Liga, with how crazy things have been there. In Copa del Rey, it's too early to tell. It's only been one game. But in terms of La Liga and the Champions League, I mean, Atletico have a chance to win this group, where after the 4-0 in Dortmund, you thought, okay, maybe this might be a struggle for second place. But yeah. Simeone preached patience after that match, and he said, we're going to be fine. We're going to get back on our feet, and Atletico have. And sure, you can argue there have been too many draws in La Liga, maybe one or two too many. But they're only 2 points off top. It's hard to argue that the results aren't coming.
That's the thing with the league this year, and it's absolutely great that it's like it's really, really exciting. Like, there's so many games to watch and so many teams that are really interesting stories. And yeah, I think Atletico are, I don't know, I was watching Barcelona last night, and they gave up like a lot of chances. There was one stage, I think it was in the second half, that they were like, I can't remember. I was flicking back and forth to the different games. But anyway, they were, there was like a couple of goal mode scrambles when they were really, really lucky not to concede. And I think Barcelona, over the next 25, 23 games in La Liga, I don't know, I just think maybe Atletico can pip them. I really am starting to think that.
They don't have the defensive solidity that they used to have. I mean, they've conceded, the fifth or sixth most goals in the league?
Absolutely. And also, Ter Stegen, during that goal mode scramble, I think Ter Stegen came out and made a little bit of a mess of it as well. Mm. And actually, I don't think Ter Stegen got enough criticism for... but I don't think there was enough questions asked about his defending for Diego Costa's goal last weekend. I thought it was a weird position he took at the back post.
He made a mess of that.
Yeah, I think he did. I don't think... And there wasn't actually really anything said about it. Because it wasn't as if it was like... an extremely powerful header, anything by Costa. I just think that, I wonder if we're going to see him, how his confidence is going at the moment, because he doesn't seem to be a player that's absolutely flying high in the confidence stakes at the moment, you know?
Rodri's pass percentage update, 96% against Monaco on 92 touches. What more can be said? This is just kind of what he does.
Yeah, brilliant. Again, I just think it's the way he carries himself as well. He just seems like he fits. He seems like he's ready for this level. He feels like, although having said that, I think against Barcelona, there was a couple of times when he's put under a little bit of pressure. Now, maybe that was just kind of a blip, but I thought he did make at least two kind of decisions that maybe were a little bit rushed or a little bit maybe wrong. But I just think in general, though, he just carries himself so well, and he's so confident, and he is, if you could build a player from the ground up, the player that Atletico Madrid needed to replace Gabi, he's it.
It would be him. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree. He's been brilliant. Atletico in the Champions League under Simeone, I've kind of kept a ledger of the results, and including yesterday's. Atletico in the Champions League under Cholo, 22 wins, 5 draws, 2 defeats. 54 goals for, just 10 conceded in those 29 games. Incredible.
Yeah, that is a pretty handsome record. That's a pretty handsome record.
Yeah, it's very few teams can ring that up. Finally, let's chat about this quickly. The Champions League, it seems a bit more open this year. I wouldn't say it's a wide open field, but there's more competition there, considering Real Madrid struggles, considering some of the other big teams kind of not quite firing on all cylinders. Atletico into the knockouts now for the first time in 2 years. How far can they go, do you think?
Yeah, I think, it's such a kind of a strange competition because I was looking at the last 16 games and they're not until February. So, I mean, when you look at, I'm trying to kind of think, do we say this every year? There's no clear favourite, there's others, or there's someone maybe kind of stepping, like looking a little bit unique and looking like they might be favourites. And then come February, like, things change completely. Like for example, after the Christmas break, where Spain and Germany get breaks, England don't. Things change in that respect. You get a couple of injuries. Obviously, and I know this kind of is a little bit obvious, but it depends on who they get for a start. But secondly,
it does,
yeah. I think Atletico, and I said that they're in an absolutely great position. And the reason I say that is because I think they're going to get better as the season goes on. So, like when you think about some of the draws they've had this year, Leganés, they drew at Eibar, like teams like this, and they're still in with a fighting chance. They lost 4-0 to Dortmund, but yet they still look like they're going to top the league. So that little bit of sprinkling of luck that they needed, given the fact that the other La Liga teams some of them are struggling, it's a little bit more open, that has suited them. And secondly, once Costa, either Diego Costa improves, or I don't know what's going to happen there, but he's not, he can't play any worse than he is at the moment, and I just, not that he's playing poorly, but just he's not scoring. He's not that same player he was.
No,
like, remember when he first came back, he was, I can't remember who was it was against. It was in the Copa, and
Yeda.
He was, throwing himself around, getting fights.
Yeda. Yeah.
Oh, it was just like, this is amazing, and this is what we all came here to see. But I just think that a lot of Atletico are only going to get better with Lamar, with maybe Gelson, with the defence hopefully getting fit again, with Arias playing more minutes, with Rodri settling in nicely, with Correa hopefully improving with his game time consistency, Thomas, to players like that. I just think that they're in a perfectly good position, and also the fact that they're only going to get better from here, I feel like. Obviously, it can get worse, but I just feel like they're going to get better. And I think that bodes well for whoever they end up playing. And if they finish top of the group, obviously, they'll play a second team. So, and they avoid Barcelona and Real Madrid. So, yeah, it could be... I really don't know who any team that finishes second that they would be really afraid of.
Sure.
Maybe, obviously, PSG or someone, but... We'll have to wait and see, obviously, because all the games aren't decided yet either.
Yeah,
so.
And even then, PSG or whoever else comes out of that group, PSG do lack a certain structure. Their star talent is as bright as anybody's, but they do lack structure. And yeah, we'd have to see how the final match day shakes out. There are still a few places up for grabs. But yeah, exciting times. And Atletico, I agree, I think they will get better. And
yeah,
if Costa does undergo, and there's been talk throughout Spain that Costa might undergo an operation on his foot. We'll see how long that keeps him out, but that could just mean a chance for Nikola Kalinic and a chance to really see what Kalinic is made of, because we haven't really seen him that much, and we're entering December in a strange one. So there are still places up for grabs, especially with Costa not playing that well or possibly out for a couple months, and it's time for this squad's depth to be tested finally, and we'll see just how good they are.
Exactly, yeah.
Lastly, at the weekend, Atletico playing Girona at Montilivi. One of those very interesting stories and teams you kind of hinted at earlier, Robbie. Girona have the league's leading scorer in Christian Stuani. He's got 10 goals this season. Quite incredibly, just he's been a monster since he went to Girona, went back to Spain. How do you see this one kind of playing out?
Yeah, well, Girona actually, when they started out, and under Eusebio, who obviously was with Real Sociedad. Yeah. They're just really poor last year. And also after losing Pablo Machin, who we are starting to see now how good he actually is. Like, he had Girona playing so well, but they actually haven't been that bad. Like, they've been really good actually. Girona, sorry, when they started under Eusebio, I remember watching them against Valladolid in that first game, and I was kind of trying to see what they really didn't look great, to be honest with you. And I was kind of concerned for them, to be honest with you. I'm not going to speak for everyone, but I'm pretty sure most people were kind of concerned about them. But they've been absolutely fabulous, like, and they've got some. You've got a couple of exciting players. Got a kind of a unique system they play, and yeah, I think they are the kind of team. Obviously, yeah, it just feels like they'd actually, which is a really, really good trait actually to have. It feels like they don't really care who their opposition is. It almost feels like the better the opposition, the better they play. And obviously we saw that it was Stuani's first game back for Girona last season at the Montilivi when Atletico drew 2-2
mm-hmm.
that game. And that was an aberration from Atletico. It was really poor. And I would be slightly concerned, but for Atletico, given the fact that Costa's not playing well. And yeah, I'd like to see. I'm looking forward to seeing that one actually.
Well, Girona, not the strongest team at home, but they are unbeaten in their last five. But they're only 13th in the home form table. Atletico, though, not so great away. Girona have won just 2 of their 7 at home. Atletico just 1 win away from the Wanda Metropolitano. So something's got to give for one of these two teams, or it could end in a draw. Who knows? But something's got to give for someone here. Atletico have drawn their last 3 away from the capital.
It's not great at all. No, they'll have to change that.
Only 5 goals in 6 away games. Yeesh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got a scoreline prediction in you?
2-1 Atletico.
Ooh, that's bolder than I'm going to go. I'm going to go with 1-0 Atletico.
Okay, yeah. No, yeah, I think it'll be a little bit more open than we expect. But yeah, yeah. No, it could go either way. I really don't know. I'm kind of doubting myself. No,
it would not surprise me if Girona take maximum points from this game. I mean, this is a solid team here. They had those early stumbles when Real Madrid just pounded them in one of those first games. But they're, again, unbeaten in their last 5. They have quite a bit of talent. I mean, just because this is their second season in La Liga, they were comfortably safe last year. It looks like they're already going to be safe this year. They're 9 points clear of the drop. They have good financial backing. They have a solid squad and a good coach. I mean, this is going to be a very tough game. At least on paper, it looks like it's going to be a very tough game on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, we will leave it there. Robbie, thank you so much for coming on the show. Great to talk to you as ever.
No problem, Jeremy. Thanks a million for having me.
Follow Robbie on Twitter at RobbieJDunn. Follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Schnero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform, and become a Colt Schnero Chat amigo at patreon.com/Colt Schnero Chat. We'll be back next week to talk about Girona and Atleti. Until then, adios.